Are you ready? Break some damn shot, boy. Is that the message you got? We about to go live, but you're ready to rock. So take a shot. Oh, so take a shot. Oh, yeah. I'm a street breaker. I'm a heartbreaker. This is my dawn. I'm a mold breaker. Rick Flair, Nature Boy, about to seek and destroy. It's an SOW, let me hear you make noise. Take a shot, boy, is that the message you got? We about to go live, but you ready to rock. So take a shot.
What is up, everyone? It is me, your favorite actor, Mark Schwann, for another episode of Shot of Wrestling. Today, I am not with Michael J. Putty. No, it's not a typical episode. I'm actually kicking it old school here. We got the two co-hosts in the building, forming one host combined. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Green Man. What is up, Abel?
My man, it's great. It's great to be back. It's great to see how much you're growing the brand. The Shot of Wrestling universe is getting bigger and bigger. And excited to catch up with you. It's been a long time.
It's been too long, my man. Like the last time I saw you, I was invited to your lovely house to celebrate with you. We're watching AEW. I forgot which show it was, honestly, but I had a good time out there in Long Island with you.
Yeah, your old stomping grounds.
My old stomping grounds, yeah. Which might be my new stomping grounds again come over the summer.
No way.
Breaking news. Coming back.
Yes.
So
amazing.
My lease is up here in Westchester. Decided not to renew. Father's Day, I am out of here. Happy Father's Day to me. As we're pursuing a house, we're still looking, still hoping to find something. We will be staying in Long Island temporarily.
Hopefully
it's just for the summer. Yeah.
I love it. You're going to be a lot closer. I mean, you used to grow up in Long Island. I'm new to the island out here, but I love it, man. I love
It's what you say that, and I'm glad you love it, by the way. You say that, but I feel like you're more hip with it on Long Island than I am, because I'm like almost a decade removed. I don't know anything anymore about it.
You know, so many people who live out here, I have friends who live out here, mention that also. Like, I've only been out here for about 3 years now, but it's very similar to like tourists who come to New York City and they go to Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island. Like, they go to all these places, and we as New Yorkers sometimes take it for granted, and we're just in the grind going to work every day, and we miss out on some of the things that the tourists really take advantage of. So it's very similar like that for me in Long Island. Like, I'm a big foodie, and I love, man, the food out here is amazing. Top
especially
notch.
Massapequa. Massapequa's got some good food.
I love it. So any recommendations about anything going on in Long Island, please let me know. I love following people who love to eat and love to drink out here on the island. So please let me know on the comments for Shot of Wrestling.
I have a restaurant for you. It's very pricey, actually. I will forewarn you. It is a very pricey meal. However, easily one of the best meals I ever had in my life. And I forgive me to the owners of the place if I'm mispronouncing it. It's an Italian place out in Smithtown called Osteria Umbra, I believe it's called.
Mm, okay.
It's on Terry Road in Smithtown. Strongly recommend, dude. Easily. Again, I'm a foodie myself. Best meal that my wife and I ever had in our lives. It was incredible. Worth every penny.
Well, since we're sharing some great spots out here on the island, I got to share with you one of my favorite Italian places out in Northport, Maroni's.
Maroni's. Okay.
I've been there a couple of times. It is a little pricey, but it is a chef's menu when you go there. It's 25 courses, so you get to eat everything from Angus burgers to lobster, shrimp cocktail to sushi to, I mean, you name it. Like, it's whatever they prefer, they cook up that day. It's amazing.
So I've heard tales about this place. I have yet to try it myself. I'm dying to check it out. Hey, again, listen, I'm gonna be on there for a good portion of the summer. Not too sure how long over the summer, but something to do, something to check
Great.
out.
Great. That's awesome. Well, welcome back to the hood, man.
Welcome
Welcome
back.
back.
No, well, not yet. Not yet. I'm still in Westchester. Still in Westchester. I'm still
That's okay.
stopped.
No, you're not at all. Come on.
No, no,
Marcus
no.
Davenport Schwann, you a snob?
Stop
America's
it.
favorite actor? No, come on.
No, no.
Walking
The
down
name in itself. The
the market with Vicious Vicky? No, come on. Come
You
on.
know, still, like, you know, I don't know what's going on with this right now. You're talking about Vicious Vicky. Love the girl. You know, been friends with her since we came in the industry around about the same time. You know, since she misses me in the eyes, again, accident. We really haven't had much discussion. Like, I know I'm obligated to be at Queen of North 5 of BCW on April 20th, by the way. Tickets still available right now. I am obligated to be there. I just don't know what's happening. Am I being fired? Am I still by your side? What's up? Don't know.
Why does it sound like you're letting her control this situation, though?
I mean, she's the
Like
champ.
you're
She's the
putting
champ.
the ball in her court.
I mean, have you seen her? Have you seen
I mean, listen,
her
you
this new
are,
version of Vicious Vicky?
yeah, you know, she's
She
very troubled. She has a troubled past. I'm not, you know, she's opened up that chapter to us on Shot of Wrestling before, but you are the cream of the crop when it comes to managers. She would not be champion if it wasn't for you. And I think you're selling yourself a little too short, my friend. All right.
Well, you know
If
what,
you
dude?
want to take
Okay,
Vicious
so
Vicky to the next level, she needs to listen to Mr.
next level. Hey, I
Money.
mean, she's a champ, right? Next level. Like, yes, did I talk to Anthony Coldea, convince him to put Vicious Vicky in that match? Absolutely. But the rest was up to her. I didn't necessarily make her the champion. That was herself. I helped her get an opportunity to be champion.
Where would you be without the opportunity, though, Schwan? Come on, Shawnee boy. You're selling yourself too short.
No,
Come on.
I'm a very humble man. Listen, like
Humble to the fault, then.
being a father changed me. Being a father changed me. You know, like, yes, did I have rough beginnings when I broke into the wrestling industry? Absolutely. I think people know my history. They know my past. They anyone's been following along. I have done some scrupulous things for sure. However, you know, do I want that to be my legacy? Do I want my daughter to watch that and be like, hey, is my daddy a bad human being? No, I don't want her knowing that.
Of
You know,
course.
and I, you know, that's one of the reasons why I align myself with Vicious Vicky, like, you know, because I think she symbolizes a badass, strong, independent woman. And honestly, that's something I want my daughter to aspire to be. So, and here we are. We're in a crossroads. And hopefully Vicky listens to this.
Yes,
And
she
yeah.
needs to remember who got her to the dance, you know. She's a great dancer. She's great in the ring, but without that
She's
opportunity.
brilliant in a ring, brilliant in a ring. And listen, man, I still believe in her. Regardless what may happen next at Queen North 5, I want to be known. I believe in her. I always will believe in her. But honestly, the ball's in her court. I am sorry for, you know, inserting myself, putting myself in a position to almost cost a new championship. But, you know, how many times can I apologize? I'm sorry. Actions do speak louder than words. If I'm provided another opportunity to be there by her side, we're on the right page, I think we're going to be unstoppable.
Yeah. Listen, synergy sometimes takes a while. You've had the you're started your own business. You know how it is with business partners. Sometimes, you know, it just doesn't work out right. You know, it takes a while to develop that type of chemistry. And the fact that you guys were able to you know, win a championship off that first opportunity, I still think there's a lot of good to do there. You know, let's make that world championship a world championship. Go on tour with Vicious Vicky. Go to Japan. Go to Europe. Defend that championship and make it a true women's world championship.
All for it, my man. You trust me, believe me. Anyway, dude, we have a lot of wrestling to discuss. Let's hop into it.
Let's go.
All right, Abel. Green Man. What do you want to be called this time? Yeah,
The old
whatever.
man.
The old man.
The
Oh, el
old man.
viejo. El
Yeah,
viejo.
I like
Viejo.
that.
El viejo. All
Viejo.
right. Well, Abel, the biggest thing that's trending has all week long has been Cody Rhodes, The Rock, and all of this, but news broke out this week. WrestleOps at WrestleOps. The Rock would prefer to work with Cody Rhodes in the main event of next year's WrestleMania. That's according to WON. Abel, that means we have a year away from that. Does that mean it's going to be for the championship? Is Cody Rhodes going to be the champion until next year's WrestleMania? Your thoughts?
That's a really great question. I mean, when we went into WrestleMania, I really thought because The Rock was calling himself the final boss, that Cody didn't stand a chance at WrestleMania this year. That, you know, they were continuing to build and build, but I think they did the right thing to put the belt on Cody. And, you know, I think, again, The Rock is the final boss. If you think about a video game, you know, what is that final chapter of that book where you could put the bloodline chapter behind you is when you have to confront that final bloodline boss, the final boss, The Rock at WrestleMania 41. I do think Cody will have to be champion all the way through, will conquer the final boss and continue to probably even break Roman's streak.
No, I don't necessarily think Roman's streak will be broken. That's a hell of a streak. Cody Rhodes. I am a Cody crybaby through and through. However, I think that reign, no pun intended, that Roman had, I mean, it's legendary. And like, I don't necessarily, if you're trying to gun for it again, like, I don't necessarily think you should do it so soon, because I feel like that diminishes everything that Roman did.
Sure.
Cody Rhodes, I mean, he has his own journey, has his own road to follow here. And it could be different. Cody versus The Rock doesn't necessarily even have to be for the championship. Like, we heard on Monday Night Raw, The Rock said, whether you have that championship or not, I'm gunning for you. When I come back, I'm coming after you.
Yeah, I mean,
and that was a teaser right there
that you just broke down. It's also like that safety that he placed there, because you don't know what could happen. You don't know if Cody could get injured this year. You don't know what will happen if let's say LA Knight, a year ago, the guy was red hot, you know, and if they want to put the belt on LA Knight this year, you never know. So
you never know. No, you're right. It's a good safety blanket. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also a possibility, we can't rule this out either, you know, Cody possibly losing the championship at some point and to eventually gain it back heading into WrestleMania. You know, that could be a possibility.
Not for the story I feel that we've been on for this long, you know, for the story that he losing last year at WrestleMania to coming to this year and winning it. You know, back-to-back Royal Rumble wins. You know, he's been labeled the face of this company, the most successful that this company has ever been in a really long time. This new era that we're approaching that they keep jamming down our throats. You know, it's this new era, you know, and right. This is the face. This is the who we put our money on. I think he's definitely going to be champion a year from now. Now, the question is, who are you excited for him in a face? Because you mentioned earlier, there has to be something different from him and Roman, right? Like, what is this championship now going to be? How is it going to be different? And I think defending it on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on every pay-per-view, having more title defenses than Roman Reigns, even as long as his reign was, I think that's where they need to go.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, there's no doubt. I mean, Cody is a babyface, and Cody is one of those fighting champions. So and he even said, I think, on the Pat McAfee show that he would like to be on Raw and SmackDown. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of Cody Rhodes. Whether he defends it every week, not too sure. I wouldn't be surprised if we perhaps see an occasional title defense on Raw or SmackDown. For sure, we're probably going to see an every PLE on his part. So, yeah, that right away differentiates.
Cody Rhodes defending the title at a live event. I mean, that'd be great.
Maybe even that. I mean, like, yeah, Roman Reigns hasn't been even on a live event in quite some time. So, like, I'm sure we'll see more of Cody and the World Heavyweight Championship the Universal Championship out there on the road. But, I mean, no, I mean, there are plenty of opportunities for Cody to, you know, put over some talent here to get new opportunities, get some new matches, new storylines. However,
some of the dream matches that you want to see Cody.
I mean, there's not necessarily dream matches per se, but like, you know, I'm all about, like, I think this is where maybe you and I kind of defer. Like, I'm just all for a good story. You know, like for a good story and a good match is basically the cherry on top for me. But like I will say this, so like having this leaked out, but The Rock against Cody Rhodes main eventing, that's what The Rock wants. And keep in mind, the original goal is for The Rock versus Roman Reigns for next year's WrestleMania, right?
Right.
So this is now all of a sudden things change. Cody Rhodes definitely the face of the company. Like I think there's no arguing that right now. But like with this being so far out, does this kind of spoil things now? Like for every storyline that's coming our way, do we just know that Cody Rhodes is going to be champion all throughout, no matter who he faces?
Did it spoil it back when you had The Rock versus John Cena and you had a year built to it and you knew that that was going to be your main event at WrestleMania?
But that wasn't for the championship, though.
No, but it was the match.
It was the match.
And you just mentioned that it doesn't have to be for the title.
But so, like, you know, as we're saying though, you believe, and you could be right. I think you're more likely right than wrong in this case scenario, where Cody Rhodes will hold the championship until WrestleMania. Would that spoil anything for you, knowing the fact that like no matter what comes way, Cody's going to win, and it's going to be Cody versus Rock WrestleMania 41?
Well, going to what you mentioned about a good story. You know, you just built this guy. Back-to-back WrestleMania wins, what he did in these last few years since he came back to the WWE, you've built him up to be this big star, the biggest superstar that the WWE has. As far as strength to persevere, absolutely. Like, this guy is one of those people who's not going to give up. So you could put anybody in front of him, and he'll make you believe that, yeah, he's going to leave with the title, but it may not be easy. And that's part of the story, right? That this is a fighter, you know, this is Rocky Balboa, you know, when he's facing, you know, at the end of the movie, Rocky's going to win, but it's not going to be easy. And the road, and like you said, the story is not going to be easy for him. So I think that I could still see Cody Rhodes, and I don't think it's going to tarnish any championship battles that he has throughout this year.
I hope not. Like, I hope there's not like a, you know, we have a spoiler leak out there with the fact that like, hey, nothing really matters until next year. Because I feel like then that would diminish anything that Cody does. If anything, I think it makes things harder for him because he's already won the World Heavyweight Championship, the Universal Championship. All right. The story's over. Like, this is what we always wanted. But how many times have we seen, like, you know, the chase being better than retaining? And like, you know, that's something Cody's going to have to overcome. But moving on though, Abel, actually, dude, wow, that was it I had for the news. We're going about to head on to TV. Let's do it, my man.
Let's go.
It's time for this week's TV Takedown.
All right, Abel. I keep wanting to say putty. just because of like I'm so used to it. So all right, Abel.
It would be an honor.
What
you can call me putty if you want. It would be an honor.
Then you have to imitate putty.
I don't think I have the stretch in my legs to reach that high.
Fair enough. All right. So the biggest thing I saw trending from Monday Night Raw was the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. Wrestling World CC at Wrestling WCC. The Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley feud has officially started. Lots of tweets going around, basically sharing the same thing. Lots of excitement. Abel, what do you think? Is this Liv Morgan's time? Is she going to be the one to defeat Rhea Ripley?
It's always been Liv Morgan's time. I think she has a way to get the crowd behind her. You know what I'm saying? Like, every time that she goes for the championship, you're rooting for her. She's like the female version of Cody Rhodes. You know, like, she really gets the emotion behind you. You want to root for her. I think it could be her time. I do. I love Rhea Ripley, though, as champion. I think she's great. I think she's doing great things for that division and creating a great name for herself. And I think it will be a great story, but I hope that Liv lives to fight another day.
Do you think this is a one-off? Because obviously they're shaping up for Backlash in France, right? So yeah. Do you think it's like one and done over there, or do you think this continues throughout the summer? They're calling it a Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. I mean, like,
Like, what's, you know? So what's next? If she's going through this revenge tour, then what's next after Rhea Ripley? Do you think that she'll be able to beat that champion?
So the one thing that replays back in my head, and keep in mind, like, you know, I come from film TV world. And, you know, I believe, honestly, when a line is written or when a line is spoken or when there's a camera shot specifically on something, it's not for nothing. It's not wasted. There's always a reason for this. And especially I feel like now in this era that WWE is in, everything's happening for a reason. So when Liv Morgan said to Rhea Ripley, I'm coming after everything. I'm taking everything away from you. I can't help but think, like, it's not necessarily just the women's championship. You know, what else is Rhea Ripley love? Is she coming after Dom?
Ooh.
Is she going to form like some sort of faction, take out the Judgment Day?
Ooh, I like this.
Like, is she taking everything away from her?
Deep cut.
That's what she wants. It's It's so personal with those two because of just, like, the history and how far back they go, which I love. I'm all for the long game. Yeah, all for the long game. And they, again, like, I can't help but to think that they're calling it a revenge tour. Dude, I really think this Wendy's rivalry set could take over the whole summer, and I think the fans will be heavily invested.
I mean, you already mentioned a couple of things that could take the whole summer. Like you said, like, if she goes after Dom and try to, I mean, Liv's a beautiful woman. There's no way that Dom's gonna say no. I got mommy, you know. And he's got a little bit of that Spanish heart, so he's kind of soft on the eyes too. So he's gonna go to her. There's a lot of love. We're very passionate men, you know. He's
Latino. And it's funny, like, you know, it could be through a romantic angle, right? Or like, she could just take him out, because Liv Morgan, I mean, like, they've been showing, like, how hardcore she can be, et cetera. I mean, there's so much different things they can do here, you know, like coming after everything. I mean, automatically, I was thinking Dom as well.
Yeah. No, I like it. Rhea Ripley, though, the work that she's done as champion, and anytime she's been in a ring with someone, it's not just elevating her, but it's also elevating the person that she's there with. I think even if she were, I don't want her to do it. I don't want this to happen. But even if she were to drop the title to Liv, and Liv goes on this great run, I think Rhea has established herself as someone who does not need a championship to get you engaged in her story. I would love to see Rhea Ripley go through that struggle to get back into it. And sometimes people who are chasing that championship turn off way better than the person who actually is the champion. So I think
sure.
She can handle that. I for totally sure. I think mean, she can handle that.
Rhea Ripley, like, over a year now, she's champion. And she's done just a fantastic job. In my opinion, like, you know, she's, even though Damian Priest is the World Heavyweight Champion, I think Rhea Ripley is the face of that whole faction there with the Judgment Day. Hell, I would say, like, honestly, go by, like, we call it the call sheet when you're on set. Number one is usually the lead. Rhea Ripley's number one to call sheet for the whole women's division.
Yeah.
I think in all of wrestling right now.
Yeah. I would put her over Becky. I would, even if Charlotte were to come back right now, today, I would still say, like, Charlotte would be a very close second to Rhea Ripley.
I think Charlotte, dude, like, dude, what a freak of nature. Have you seen her, like, her rehab videos? Like, I feel like she could come back any moment. I don't even necessarily know how much rehab she has left to go. Like, do you think, if anything, then, like, if that is the case, do you think Rhea Ripley is just holding it on to have a feud with Charlotte and maybe drop to Charlotte? Or do you think Liv Morgan is the right person for Rhea Ripley to drop it to?
I think,
because if not Liv, then who?
Yeah. You never know. There's so many great talents in NXT, you know, that have been coming up and are developing over there. So you never know. That's the great thing about.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, we do have the draft coming up. You're right.
Yeah, that is one of the good things that the WWE has been doing is developing that new talent, where you don't know who that next person's going to be. And, you know, in Triple H, we trust. And one of the things that we've talked about in the past is how, you know, Vince McMahon used to take all of Triple H's toys from NXT and bring them up so he could play with it, and he would change them up and make them be something different. And it's like, well, I just invested so much time in the toy that Triple H built. I would love to see that in the main roster with a new gang of competition. So now that Triple H has the pencil, let's go.
With that being said, though, I mean, like, I find it hard to believe that anyone being called up to NXT right away would be able to take the championship from Rhea Ripley. Like, you know, they're going to need some time. Even Roxanne, if she were to be brought up right away, like, you're really going to throw her under fire just like that?
You never know. That's the beautiful thing about this wrestling today, man. You never know. You never know. I never knew
but the
NXT champion.
But the problem with
NXT.
The problem with Roxanne was, like, and I love Roxanne. I think she's honestly, she's the future of this company in terms of the women's division. When she came out on Monday Night Raw, it was a crickets pretty much, even during her match. It's like they had no idea who she was. So like that's why I find it hard to believe, like, someone like Roxanne, if she were to be called up to the main roster, I don't think you'd necessarily throw her into wolves right away, have her defeat Rhea Ripley for the championship.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I don't think it would be good for her. You definitely could build her, but you never know. That's a beautiful thing about today. You never know. It's exciting.
I mean, sure. I mean, hey, AJ Lee got called up and beat Paige right away for the championship. So
you're right.
We shall see, my man. Moving on, though. Let's go on to NXT. While we were on the subject there, good segue. So we talk about people being called up. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people get brought back to NXT, and that was the case this past Tuesday. R. Wilson at Rafe 089968. That is a hell of a username here. 136 days as champion, 16 wins and 17 singles matches. The NXT version of Karrion Kross was his best presentation under WWE's umbrella. I hope he has another run in the brand. And so Karrion Kross coming back, looks like with the whole, what's the last testament?
Final testament.
Feels kind of a little bit like a demotion. Not quite too sure here. Let's see how it plays out. But, you know, as far as the main roster goes, why do you feel like it didn't necessarily work for Karrion Kross?
I like the group that they've developed. I just think there's just so much good things going on in the roster, like the main roster right now with Cody, the Bloodline, Judgment Day. Like, everybody just has some good shit going on right now. And it's kind of starting to overshadow some of the other things that are going on. Like Becky Lynch and the story that she had with Damage Control. I mean, that story was great. And I think everybody delivered, and you had some big, you have Asuka in there. You got Becky Lynch in there. Like the matches that were coming out with EO and like Dakota, everybody collaborative. That was a great storyline, but I think it was overshadowed with some of just the other really good things going on. Now with Karrion, I have something personal with Karrion. I wish he would be able to connect more with fans, but I honestly think he's just too much of a nice guy.
Interesting.
I think CM Hustle and being in the grind in the indie scene, you could really tell that this guy is a true professional. Like he has a job to do. And he does it to the best of his ability. Look at what he was dressed as when Vince McMahon told him that he was going to be this gladiator, right? You know, you could be easily and said that's not for me. I don't think I'm going to be able to do that. But he's the type of guy who's really nice and is going to say, you know what? I'm going to take the best of this opportunity. I'm going to make the best of it. But sometimes nice guys finish last.
Mm.
And you have to be able to speak up and be passionate enough to say, no, this is not the direction that I want to go in. You have to step up and say this. He has the smoke show with him. Like, there's so many good things. And I love this final testament, too. Like, the way that the group could develop in NXT in a smaller version with a smaller roster, I think it's going to make him bigger. It's going to give them all better opportunities for them to grow, develop, hopefully get the fan invested. And like you were saying with Roxanne, where it was crickets, NXT needs to continue to deliver like they have been, to keep making noise for like the main event people who watch SmackDown and Raw religiously, to now say, I need to watch NXT next. What's going on over there? Why did Karrion go over there? Like, what's going on?
I feel like NXT, though, has always been for the diehards. Kind of like AEW in a sense, you know, because NXT, it's developmental. It's not necessarily treated necessarily as a third brand. I think we all know it's developmental. And I think that's why it's so hard for the non-diehards, for like, you know, the casual wrestling fans, for them to get involved into it. You know, and of course, like, you know, us diehards, we're rewarded whenever we see someone from NXT get called up. But, and so it kind of like, it kind of baffles us when they don't get the pop that they deserve. Like, even like Johnny Gargano has been struggling for a while to get that pop in WWE. And like, you know, he was Johnny Wrestling. He was a face in NXT for so long. It's like, how do you guys not know who this guy is?
Right.
But like, here we are. I mean, like, that's just the honest truth of WWE. And I think Karrion Kross. I'm sorry,
go on. It's a gift and a curse to be able to get that pop, because it shows that you've been recognized from your hard work that you've done in NXT. But it must also feel a little bit different and good in a way to be like, hey, this is somewhere I could start fresh. Like, yes, you may know me from NXT, but now I have to reprove myself. I have to, you know, recreate something. And, you know, as someone like you who's very creative and it's into film, and that those creative juices kind of drive you to be even better.
Yeah, I mean, NXT is also, it's smaller venue. It's more intimate. So you can get away with different stuff there. For when you go to the main roster, everything's just amplified 10 times more. You know, and like, you know, if you have that je ne sais quoi, if you have that star ability, like, you're going to shine no matter what. But for others, like, not everyone is as blessed. Most people aren't as blessed, even in WWE. So sometimes they have to work harder, especially when they get to that next level. You know, even Bayley, like, I remember when she first got called up, and she was the creme de la crop in NXT for so long. When she got called up, it was a struggle for her for a few years, actually. Until she had that heel turn. And I think that's when people really finally started getting behind her again and build her up to this point that she is now, where you cannot deny her.
Right. The great thing about wrestling is that there's not a formula. You can't just say, you know, you mix a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and you get a superstar, and then, you know, off to the moon you go. Everybody has a different path. And the reason everybody has a different path is because we are all different. You're different, you know, than me. I'm different than my son. My son is different than his friends. And every character that you see on TV connects with someone. And it may not connect with us right away, but they're connecting with someone else.
So going back to the whole connection, though, you say Karrion Kross is a very nice guy in real life. Nice. And but like, it's funny you say that, because I feel like the nice guys can connect. So what is what can he do to connect with the audience, you think?
Well, when you think about faces, I think the way that Cody Rhodes has been connecting with the fans. Well,
that's just a whole other level. That's not fair.
But if you take that one piece, the one piece of that struggle, like, every good guy needs to struggle for people to get behind that they feel they connect with. Like, life is a struggle. All right. Sometimes you can't pay your bills. Sometimes you can't make rent. Sometimes your job sucks, but you have to keep going at it. Sometimes
you're not able. Are you talking from a personal level, or are you right?
No, but I'm saying, like, but you're going through all these tough things that's making you harder and wanting to fight more and more in life. And you need a character, a face in wrestling that really kind of you could relate to. And I think Cody Rhodes, you could relate to in that struggle. And the fact that he lost that Mania is that struggle that it's like, yeah, we've been there before. We've been the chosen one, ready for that job promotion. And then we've been looked over. Why? Because we're too nice of a guy.
So real fast, 30 seconds before we wrap up, are you saying that Karrion Kross is misplaced as a heel here? Is that what you're trying to say?
You said it. Yes. Let's make him a face. That could be the magic.
Maybe. I think at this point they should try anything, because I think Karrion Kross is a phenomenal talent, and like, there's something there. Obviously, yeah, they see it too. Why they're giving him yet another chance? Want to see more from NXT. Moving on to AEW, another niche audience.
Ooh.
Abel, who lots of controversy from AEW. Lots of it. They made some noise over WrestleMania weekend over a big time announcement. saying they're doing a release to tape from All In. Lots of speculation going on. Are they really? Is this a work? Blah, blah, blah. Well, they did it. They did it. And also, Will Ospreay made some noise, too, during AEW Dynamite. Kalios at Kalrios. I'm going to get these right, guys. One day. Do you know who are the true victims in all of this? People like Tony Schiavone and Renee Paquette and the talents backstage who wanted nothing to do with this pettiness from last night's episodes, an utterly embarrassing chapter in this company's history. Abel, your thoughts? I mean, like, we saw the video. If you haven't, I mean, CM Punk, he was interviewed, not even WWE interview, a regular podcast, asked about the events that happened to All In. Thank you. And CM Punk spoke his truth. You know, he said what happened from his perspective. And Tony Khan got furious and said, I'm going to embarrass CM Punk. I'm going to make him look like a liar. We saw the tape, and it was exactly what CM Punk said happened.
Tell me when I'm lying.
Tell me when I'm lying. And like, I thought I was crazy. I thought I was nuts. Like, am I like remembering what CM Punk said wrong? So I went on Twitter, and everyone was saying that CM Punk, even the CM Punk haters, were saying, why did you do this to Tony Khan? And on top of that, Will Ospreay shooting a shot at Triple H as well. Was this a massive misfire on AEW's part? Abel, what do you think here? Keep in mind, this was supposed to be a ratings grab. They didn't even crack 900,000. They were nowhere close to a million.
I appreciate you bringing the facts into that, because that was where I was going. I was like, you know, we're in this new era, right, where like no holds barred. We're going to put out the best product. We're going to try to do whatever we can. And this was their way to do it. Unfortunately, it just didn't pay off. It just didn't pay off. I think the Young Bucks
fans were chanting CM Punk when the Young Bucks were out there.
Could you explain this to me? Because I've been trying to wrap my head around this. So CM Punk, no longer in AEW, contractually with the WWE. How is AEW allowed to show footage of someone that is not under contract with them? What is the caveat there? Well, like
they own the footage, right? So they can do what they want with it. You know, that's really it. They didn't mention him by name. You got to keep that in mind. You know, like, that didn't happen. But honestly, it made no sense. What bugs me the most, this is what pisses me off, right? I'm going to get completely real here. Some people are like, oh, Mark, this might cost you ever getting a job at AEW. So be it. Tony Khan is ruining a really good thing here. AEW, I was so hopeful when AEW first came out, and you can listen back in this podcast, you can talk to whoever. I was so hopeful for AEW because I saw something fresh. I saw something new. I saw something that was going to push WWE out of being complacent. Right. And you fast forward to today, you see the roster is stacked with talent. Like, I know some people personally in AEW, and
they have cream of the crop there. Like,
they do.
Gets that even like the WWE, they pass up the WWE to be there, you know?
Right. And you use a cheap tactic like this on someone who's not even on your roster anymore to try to bring in ratings. Are you serious? Are you serious right now? That's a slap in the face of anyone that's signed in that locker room. Like, I'd be pissed if I was at AEW talent. And I'm not speaking for anyone. I'm just speaking from my own point of view.
So I think the problem, and I think the opportunity that they had, is because you're pissed at AEW for doing this. I think the intention was from Nicholas and Matthew to get the heat on them. They released the video.
It was cheap. Right.
Call them cheap. So where is the disconnect where the fans are now saying, ooh, this is not good for AEW? And instead of saying, ooh, fuck the Young Bucks. Like, look what they're doing. They're ruining the company. No, it's Tony Khan who's ruining the company.
It's Tony Khan, because we all know, because it came from Tony Khan. So that's we all know that.
That's the problem. Showing the video. I'm cool with showing the video. I'm cool with the fact that they're doing something different. Everybody always talks about these stories backstage, but it's always hearsay. I hear this person's story. I hear this person's story. I wasn't there. This video gives you, as a fan, the first time ever,
what does it do, though? It showed CM Punk right. It showed CM Punk right. Like, it gave more flavor.
Yeah,
CM Punk was trending. on yeah. their show.
The only thing
this is so stupid.
To jump on your bandwagon a little bit about this, the one thing CM Punk did an interview where he was asked and he was honest with the answers to his to the questions. He right. didn't go and do a promo on live TV. He didn't say, hey, I have news that are going to blow everybody's mind. I have to do this interview. You have to ask me this question. No, you could even see in the interview, like, he was a little bit uncomfortable. He's like, I don't even know if I want to talk about this.
Right.
Like, this is already in the past, but you asked the question. All right. Let me try to make sure that I give you an answer that is the honest truth. And you take what you want. And then, like you said, you see a video, which is the honest truth of what he said.
I don't know.
Young Bucks and AEW went and did this purposely. They went, like you said, they went in a cheap way to get ratings. They went in a cheap way to try to make CM Punk look bad, but it didn't happen. So they had the intent where CM Punk did not. He was answering a question.
I would just love to know, like, watch this video with their eyes to, like, figure out what were they thinking? Why this was a good idea?
How long have they had this video also?
Clearly says All In.
Right? So they've had this in their back pocket waiting for the right moment.
This was not the right moment. If you wanted to air it, fine. That's your right. Like, hey, leak it to the journalists out there. But to use it as a ploy with that roster that you have, so I turned it off. Right after I saw that, I was appalled. I turned it off. I'm like, this is ridiculous. Wow. And if I did that, I can only imagine how many other people did that. I tuned in to see. I tuned in out of curiosity. I wrapped up everything I did do.
They did their job.
Hold off. I feel like that, yes, they got new viewers to come in and see what's going on. Their mistake was that they didn't wait till the end to showcase all the AEW talent they had. They had one match with Adam Copeland and then they showed it, right? I feel like any new viewership that they gained from that, they lost forever after they showed that video. They will never get them back. I, for one, personally, if it wasn't for this podcast, I'd be done with AEW.
Wow. Finished. Yeah. I think they have the opportunity to have some good stuff. And when you go back to the stories, I look back at the MJF storyline and, you know, when he was champion all the way to where he was losing when he lost the championship, like that was a really good storyline. The Masked Men with Adam Cole, that drew me in. We need more of that. Like, get creative, bring more of that to the table. And I know you're trying to gauge your show to that specific indie audience, but that indie audience also wants that story as well. Even if you go to a death match where it's just about like all these crazy moves and watching people bleed, you still want some connection. You still want a story to be told.
Abel, I'm 100% with you. Right. I know we're going over. Stop. I want to point out some point of facts here. Because everything you're saying is right and true, but this involves Tony Khan putting the right people around him to make this thing grow.
Okay.
So Tony Khan has had other jobs from his father in the past, right? I'm going to read off some things here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, which his father owns, Tony Khan joined in there as senior president of football and analytics. Defensive end, Yannick... I can't say his last name. But very popular defensive end for the Jacksonville Jaguars at the time in April 2020 referred to Tony Khan as spoiled after a confrontation on Twitter. And then afterwards, he was immediately traded to Minnesota Vikings. Cut two. With in Premier League, Tony Khan's father owns a team in the Premier League.
Okay.
Fulham. Tony Khan had a role there. Fulham brought in a number of expensive signings, headlined by the permanent signing of Mitrovic from Newcastle United and Jean Michael Siri from Nice. January 2019, Fulham was stuck in a relegation zone despite having sacked their coach, and replaced him with another one. Around this time, Tony Khan was criticized for telling a supporter of the club to go to hell, although he claimed that the person was previously hounding him before. After the departure, pundits questioned Khan's capability in the job, even suggesting that Shahid Khan, Tony Khan's father, should sack his own son. Fulham wound up being relegated that season. Tony Khan is a history. Basically, is what I'm trying to say here. Tony Khan has the only experience he has is getting given jobs by his father. And it's the same shit. It's the same shit. It's copy-paste all throughout. Tony Khan, I love what you've done with AEW. I love what you the idea of it. But you need adults in the room. You need adults in the room to help make this grow, to survive. That's what I'm saying.
You think AEW would have gotten this far if Cody wasn't in the mix at the beginning of
it? No, I really don't think so. Yeah. I really don't think so at all. Because Cody Rhodes, honestly, I mean, like, I don't necessarily believe that any active wrestler should be an EVP or hold a position of that status in a wrestling promotion. But, like, Cody Rhodes, I think, is one of those rare people. And I think he's actually shadowing Triple H. I think I heard a report about that. Where he had maturity, you know, and he also came from a bigger company. He also is Dusty Rhodes' son, so he's learned a lot from Dusty, his own father for sure. And the Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, say what you will about them, great talents, but however, like, they've never been to the big leagues. Like, they're more indie based, and our experience from the indies, we know, like, no one should really have that status yet because they don't necessarily know what it's like to be in the big stage to compete, to go head to head with WWE. I think that's a mistake. And I think you're right. I think that's why they've been so successful or started off so hot is because of the vision of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
But now he's not there and it's falling apart.
It's sad. It's sad. I'm not giving up on AEW. I don't watch it as often as I watch WWE, but the competition that they've created is good for the business. It's what's making it so red hot right now. So I can't ignore
competition. Competition is good. Competition is great. That's why I want it to succeed. That's why I'm so pissed off. It's not because I hate AEW, because I want it to succeed.
But imagine that's why. You being a chef, you have all the ingredients for you to make the perfect dish. Because they do. They have the locker room. Like, I don't even think WWE could buy the locker room that they have right now with the salaries that they have. But
that's a whole other story too. I mean, like, just because he's talents are getting outbid by AEW doesn't necessarily mean that's a smart decision.
Right. But you have all the ingredients, but you just don't have the right recipe.
That was actually another thing I'm sorry to cut you off. That was actually another thing he did at Fulham in the Premier League. He was just buying up players, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Same thing. It's the same thing. We could talk about this all day. We do have to move on. My God. My God. Let's go on to SmackDown.
I can't believe they're still talking about CM Punk, though.
It's crazy. It's fucking crazy. So SmackDown. Big debut tonight. We're hitting a different chapter here with the Bloodline. As you saw, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful.com at Sean Ross Sapp. Tama Tonga in WWE in the Bloodline. Jimmy Uso is out. Heyman reluctantly puts his fingers up and Solo smashes his phone when he tries to call Roman. Dude, I had a feeling Tama Tonga was going to make his debut tonight. I also thought maybe we'd see Jacob Fatu. That's probably going to be down the line.
Yeah.
What do you make of this? I mean, we also say, like, you know, Tama Tonga said the orders are the tribal chief. It's kind of hinting at Solo. Is Solo the new tribal chief?
I don't know. I mean, define me the tribal chief. Who it like is the Rock? I thought is the Rock. Could the Rock be the tribal chief? Could Roman Reigns
the Rock
acknowledge them? But the Rock acknowledged them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Roman Reigns is tied into this. I love the Bloodline storyline, and I love it just that when you think they're done, they're just getting started. Like, this is a new wave, a new era of the Bloodline. It's great. It's really great. I'm excited to see this new signing of Tonga. It's been a while since he in New Japan, like he's done a lot of great things there. He's created a lot of noise for so many years. Even when Roman Reigns was just starting the Bloodline, you kind of wanted to see the interaction between these two. So to now have him in the WWE and being able to create something new, it's exciting, man. It's really
it totally exciting. Is. And then you hear Jacob Fatu did sign with WWE. So I think it's only a matter of time. Maybe like, you know, we can get like another Civil War with the Bloodline. You know, the old Reign versus the new Reign. No pun intended.
Is it going to be like the NWO? Is it going to be like the Bloodline red and black and the Bloodline?
I hope it's nothing quite like that. Because Roman's supposed to come back as a face, right? From what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, after the title reign that he had, I would love to see him back as a face.
Would he be effective as a face, though?
Huh?
Would he be effective as a face, though?
Absolutely. Because
we've seen him be a face before, and didn't work.
We're going back to the comment I made earlier about a really good face. The struggle. He just lost his title. He lost everything. He lost control of the Bloodline. He was disrespected in front of The Rock's mom, his auntie. Like, his family was there. Like, this is a big blow for Roman Reigns, and he has lost everything. And...
But Roman's not the type of dude, though, to like really go out, handshake, blah blah blah, smile. Like he's,
I don't need that good guy. I don't need that good guy. I need the good guy who makes me believe. And I think he can do it. I think he could do
believe
it. Believe
that.
Believe that, brother. Yes, intentional, not.
But like, all right. I mean, listen, I'm for it. Where does that leave The Rock, though? I mean, like, man, Paul Heyman's right. We're going to extra innings here with the Bloodline.
By the way, I love Paul Heyman's speech at the Hall of Fame. So deserving. Such a great speech. I love when he talked to his kids. The right person, the right first inductee of the full class of the Triple H era. Like, it was a great, great add to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, absolutely. Well deserved. And, yeah, dude, phenomenal speech. Like AJ Pan was talking with him. Like, yeah, he said it. He got a little emotional watching that speech because, like, you know, it's a mentor for him. It's an idol, and no one gets more real than Paul Heyman on that mic.
As a father, did the words of when he was speaking to his kids, did it just like didn't hit it like a chord in your heart that made it be like yes? Like,
dude,
I'm like, listen, you're going to get some knowledge right now from the wise man. Okay.
Anytime someone brings up, like, you know, but their kids are talking to their kids, I it hits me. It always does. Like, I don't know who I've become now. Like, I'm a sad sap.
So true, though. Like, it's so true. As a parent, like, you want to go to work and do something of yourself, of your life that makes others respect you. In a way that, you know, like you're leaving a legacy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whatever it is that you're doing, like it's a grind for a reason. It's you're there every day for a reason, and you want to show your kids that you could come up, that you could persevere, that you could be the best. That I love when he said, like, even though you go and you try 100 times and you fail, you gotta keep trying because you never know on that 101 time you could succeed. I love that. That's life, man.
Hey.
Feeling the goosebumps, baby. I feel the pimples. They're coming alive.
With that being said, Abel, that's all we have for TV. Continued with the Bloodline. It's extra innings, baby. I'm here for it. Let's go.
Bring the whole family.
Oh, my Lord. What a show.
Wild times.
My God. I feel like we could have done the whole podcast in just AEW by itself.
Oh, my God. For all the bad reasons, though.
I know. And like,
so you think about it. So how much people have been talking about AEW? Do they consider this as the win? Like, whether, like, you're an actor, you know, whether good or bad publicity is publicity, right?
No, necessarily anymore. No. Maybe that was a thing, but like, this is It's kind of like, you know, when you talk about a heel, like, oh, any type of booze is good booze. But no, there is such a thing as, like, you know, remember there's a phrase, like, X-Pac heat, right? Like, you don't want that heat. And I think that's what you're getting right now with AEW. Like, I think people are legit pissed. To me, fuck, here we go. We're talking about it again. to me, though, what this reminded me of, right, is remember WCW or Nitro during the Monday Night Wars? Mm-hmm. You remember when, like, Tony Schiavone talked about how the rundown was happening on Monday Night Raw? Because for those that didn't know, Monday Night Raw was pre-taped. WCW was live. So, like they said, Mick Foley's winning the championship, right? They spoiled it for the viewers that were flipping back and forth. What happened? People wound up switching to Monday Night Raw to watch Mick Foley win the WWE championship. And that changed the whole trajectory of everything, of the whole war. People never came back.
You know what? WCW, that because led to... of this, I am now a CM Punk fan again. I love CM Punk because of AEW. I hated him in AEW, but now he's in WWE. And now that they did this in AEW, I'm a fan again. CM Punk all the way. I'm back, baby. I'm back.
Let's go. But, like, no, think about it, though. I mean, like, that was the downfall of WCW. And I feel like they backfired in a big way. And I feel like I can't help but feel that this is so similar. So similar.
They have a lot of time and got a lot of money to make this up to the fans. So
that's the difference. They do have more money, I think, than WCW at the time. Yeah. However, keep in mind this: it ain't actually Tony Khan's money; it's his dad's money. Something to think about.
True.
But Abel, my God, it's been a long time, man. Like, what are you doing with it? Like, how come we don't see you more?
You know what? I made a decision a long time ago, you know, for anybody who's in the wrestling business or wanting to get their foot in the door or wanting to be passionate about actually doing something with the wrestling business, it is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. And I was fortunate enough early on to realize that I cannot sacrifice everything that other people sacrifice to be part of this business. So I'm going to enjoy it as a fan. I'm going to enjoy it with my son. I'm going to enjoy it at events with my son. I'm going to make him a great fan. And, you know, what was it now? 4 years ago when that happened, it's been so long now, but I'm looking at it now and we're what I wanted all along. I have that connection with my boy that, you know, he gets excited to watch wrestling because we were able to watch wrestling on Monday and Thursday nights. I've been there on weekends. We're now getting into the Little League days. So I'm there at
an Oh, man, that's fun.
Great. Go Massapequa, Coastal Little League. I think they're going to be champions again, I tell you. They're going to be champions.
El Champion.
Yeah, but that's why you don't see me as much.
But all for good reasons.
Respect to everybody who is out there in that grind, because you guys, we've talked to you guys and girls on this show. We know the sacrifice you've told us, the sacrifices you have to do for this business, whether you are an active competitor in the ring, a referee, a commentator, a backstage correspondent. How many weekends do you have to give away? How many shows do you have to do in one night? How many birthdays are you missing? Graduations, proms? Like, it's
training.
It's not for everybody. So respect to everybody. Respect to you, to Michael J., who's holding it down for BCW, event after event. And you got the biggest event, one of the biggest event, coming up at Queen of the North.
Queen of the North 5, baby. And you can learn more about the upcoming event, Queen North 5, April 20th, on a shot of BCW that is hosted by Michael J. Putty, along with AJ Pan. There will be an interview with Harleen Lopez on there as well. Ooh. I also interviewed the BCW World Heavyweight Champion, Darius Carter. That will be out on YouTube. Check it out. You can find us on YouTube as well, actually. You can follow us on all forms of social media, at Shot of Wrestling. Follow, like, subscribe. I think that's what the kids say nowadays. Give us a review. Let us know how we're doing. But that's all I have for me, Green Man.
Do you have cool kids are liking this show. I think that's the word on the street.
Yeah, I hope it is. We're ranked number 13 in our niche as far as wrestling podcast goes. That was an accomplishment. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, it's a lot of our hard work is paying off because we're able, like we're talking earlier, make that connection because we're all fans. And this show from the very beginning was a show from the fans to the fans. And that's what it's all about, baby.
Boom. Perfectly said. Abel, love you, my man. Thank you so much for coming on, for filling in for Michael J. Putty. Hopefully we see more of you down the line, my man. And hey, this summer, let's get some LA Eats going on.
Baby, some meatballs.
All right, everyone, for Mark Schwann, for the Green Man, for Michael J. Putty, who is not here, doesn't care about you guys, I am out. Cheers.
Hey, baby, I hear the bell ringing, hip tosses and body slams. Oh, my. And maybe you seem a bit confused. Yeah, baby, but I got you pinned. But I don't know what to do when I see them with that golden case. They're cashing it in. Authority all in my face. What is a man to do? Good night, everybody.